Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll talk about creating habits that can change your organization. Andy, one of the things we talked about many times on the podcast is how our leadership team is often reading through a book together, yep. You know, having a discussion. And actually, today's podcast comes from one of those discussions. But it was a little different in that you didn't bring a whole book in. You brought a book in and had us read one chapter.
Yeah, usually we read entire books together. Sometimes we spend months working through books together, which we all enjoy. At least you all act like you enjoy. I enjoy it.
We do.
Yeah, you do. In this particular case I ask everybody to just read chapter 4 of Charles Duhigg's book, The Power of Habit. And I'm sure most of our podcast listeners have either seen the book, heard of the book, or perhaps read the book. And specifically, I wanted us to talk about this issue of a keystone habit. And he defines a keystone habit as essentially a habit that triggers a series of related or in some cases unrelated behaviors, sometimes even habits. So it's one thing that an individual does or in this case, one thing an organization can do that changes the behavior or reaffirms and underscores other behavior. So as a keystone habit, you focus on one thing, but it has the potential to impact a series of things.
Can you give us some examples?
The easiest way to understand a keystone habit is not to think of it within the context of an organization. We'll get to that in a minute, but to think about it personally. One of the examples he gives in the book is the habit of eating dinner together as a family. And he talks about a study or a couple of studies that say families that consistently eat together for dinner, in other words, that's a keystone habit, not eat out, but eat at home as a family, there are several things that happen in terms of study habits for the kids, confidence, budget management, a whole lot of things. So somehow somebody's discovered that this one habit trickles down and creates other behaviors within a family. An exercise regimen, especially daily exercise, is a keystone habit. Men and women who just refuse to budge on daily exercise or, again, any kind of exercise routine, it's a keystone habit. It affects how they feel, which affects what they eat, which affects what they won't eat, and, you know, on and on goes, energy, that kind of thing. Food journaling is a keystone habit. In fact, one of the illustrations he gives in the book later on is anybody who begins to write down what they eat begins to eat better. And as they eat better, they feel better. As they feel better, they exercise. As they exercise, they're better parents. They study harder. Again, it's a keystone habit. So again, we could go on and on. So in terms of personal behavior, the idea of a keystone habit is a pretty simple thing. And again, when you read the book, you think, wow, you know, I need to embrace one of these keystone habits because a keystone habit impacts other behaviors. Where it gets tricky is when you begin to talk about that within the context of organization.
I think one of the things that I remember in the conversation made it a little challenging is most of us don't really think of organizations as having habits.
That's true, Lane, but every organization has habits. We call these systems. In fact, any organization has worked hard to create repetition, predictable experiences, predictable work environments, predictable patterns of behaviors. So actually, habits are good things. We just call them systems in organizational life. But not all organizational systems are created. Many organizational systems just evolve over time, and that's generally what creates an organizational bad habit. So again, systems or habits reiterate things. They sort of explain this is how we do it here, whether it's on purpose or by accident. If you work anywhere long enough, you begin to act the way the people around you act, behave the way they behave. And again, if that's a good thing, if you're reinforcing a culture, that's a good thing. But if you're trying to change a culture, which is what he addresses in the book, then it may be necessary to introduce a keystone habit, a single habit that has the power to transition or change an environment. You know, we've talked about this a little bit before on a previous podcast, but one of the reasons that new initiatives and vision casting in an organization doesn't find traction are the organizational habits, because vision casting and new initiatives have a tendency to bounce off of the organizational habits. Organizational habits is what drives the behaviors within an organization, and if those aren't addressed and changed, then new ideas, they just bounce off. It's the same individually as well. If I have bad personal habits, I can go to, you know, seminars all day long about health and nutrition and exercise. But if I don't address my personal habits, right, all that information, it doesn't get absorbed. So consequently, when it comes to changing an organization or reinforcing the good things in an organization, this is a really, really important discussion. But it's a difficult discussion as we experience. And yet we kind of plodded through, and I think we came to some great conclusions as it relates to our organization.
Andy, as you said before, we weren't really trying to fix anything. You really had a different motive.
No, you're right. In fact, the reason I brought this content to our leadership team is I was really curious. I wonder if there is a current habit that if we were to turn it up in the mix for our staff specifically, if it would, again, protect us going forward. Or I wondered, is there a new habit that if we introduced that it would have such a driving force that it would ultimately bring momentum or maybe protect the momentum that we already had? So it was really a curiosity thing, and that's why it was a bit of an open-ended question, and it took us a while to, you know, land on something practical. Years ago, I read A Thriving on Chaos by Tom Peters. It's like a giant book. I'm not sure anyone ever finished. But in his book, Thriving on Chaos, Tom Peters talked about this idea of a driving force in an organization. And a driving force in an organization is that one thing that kind of holds everything else together. And one of the points he made, in fact, we talked about this years ago, was that he said that many organizations aren't aware of what their driving force is. And if they're not aware, they're just one dumb decision away from undermining the driving force of their entire organization. And he said, you know, the driving force can be a person, it can be a product, it can be a system, it can be many things. But identifying and knowing what the driving force is in an organization is extremely important. So those two ideas, you know, coming together for me, I thought, wow, if there is something that's just below the surface, if there is an intangible that we can make more tangible, and again, create a habit or describe it in terms of a habit, then that would be a powerful thing and a protective thing for our organization.
Yeah, that actually kind of goes back to something you're always challenging us to do, which is not just evaluate our failure, but to really study our success.
Yeah, if you don't know why it's working when it's working, right, you won't know how to fix it when it breaks. We say that all the time. It's imperative to do an autopsy on success, not just failure. So again, the whole idea of looking at a successful organization, division, department, and asking, is there, because there may not be, I don't know that there always is, but is there a habit that if we were to embrace it holistically as a team or division, a franchise or an organization, that again would galvanize our values and galvanize the energy around what we came together to do, that would be a powerful thing to discover or create.
So you had us read the chapter, and then you had us look at our six organizational behaviors, and we've actually talked about all six of those on the podcast before, and you ask a question that launched us into a very productive discussion.
That's right. We looked at our six organizational behaviors, and then I asked the question, is one of these a potential keystone habit? In other words, there are six things we want all of our staff and employees to do, but is one of these so powerful that if we focused on the one, it would drive the other five? And then I sent everybody away. I said, I just want you to think about it and come back next week with an answer. Okay, if I could only get everybody on my team to do one of these, which one would I choose? Because I think it has the power to drive the other five. So we came back and we all voted.
Yeah, and for our podcast listeners, here's the question we had to answer. You ask us if every staff member would blank one of these six behaviors, it would potentially cascade into other positive habits and behaviors. And here are our six. We talked about them a few months ago, but they're stay fit, make it better, take it personally, replace ourselves, collaborate, and remain open-handed. Those are the six.
Yeah, so the next week we came back, and I immediately went after make it better. I said, you know what, if I could just pick one of these that everybody in the organization would do systematically, and if we could make it an organizational habit, it would be make it better, because if everybody came to work every single day committed to making it better, I think it would drive the other five and, you know, basically would create maybe new habits and even other behaviors that would help us make it better.
And then somebody in the room must have made a compelling argument, because when we voted, we actually outvoted you, and everyone went for, or the majority went for, take it personally.
Yeah, so it was a great discussion. And it really came down to those two. There were a couple other people that said, yep, of all these six behaviors, make it better stands alone as the keystone habit. Mm-hmm. But the majority came back and said, no, it's, as you said, it's take it personally. In other words, if everybody on our staff takes our mission and our vision personally, if we created that habit, if that was the driving force of the organization, these other five would just follow suit. Mm.
And as I remember the conversation, one of the big ideas that kind of moved take it personally to the forefront was that when we all take it personally, it really creates an ownership culture amongst the staff.
Yeah, and we want people, all of our staff, to feel like owners, not employees. And anytime you get a group of people to act like owners, things are just better. So that's what we decided. We decided, you know, the keystone habit is to take it personally. We want to do whatever we can to help every staff member understand how to take it personally. That would drive the other five behaviors. But there was a problem with that. And again, that's what makes this conversation both important and tricky. Taking it personally is not a specific habit. It's not a specific activity. So then we drove the conversation even further and said, okay, what does that look like? Is there a specific task? Is there a specific activity, again, that would symbolize in some kind of way what it means to take it personally?
Yeah, as we talked about take it personally, we realized this really isn't an actionable habit.
Right. It's mostly more of a value.
Right. And so the conversation then really went to the next level, and that's where we discovered our organizational keystone habit.
Yep. Again, take it personally is great, but what does that look like? We talked about if everybody picked up trash, that would take it personally. We talked about some of those things, but none of that really drove this forward. And again, if you're a leader, you're thinking, okay, do you guys just like have meetings all day long? No, this was several weeks, you know, about 45 minutes at a time over several weeks. So anyway, so I didn't want to give up. I thought, no, I don't want to give up. I think we were making progress. So then I asked the question, okay, if we step back away from staff and take into consideration our entire network of churches, including all the people who attend our church, volunteer at our church, serve at our church, as well as our staff, let's ask the question at that level. And as you just said, that's when we discovered our keystone habit.
And this one was actually easier to identify.
It really was. And the reason was because it tied back to our overall mission and vision for our entire organization, which is where I should have begun the discussion to begin with. Because, again, our discussion began within the context of staff. So our vision for our organization is to create churches unchurched people love to attend. That's what we want to do. We want to create churches unchurched people love to attend. So when I asked the question, is there a keystone habit that would drive us forward as it relates to creating churches unchurched people would love to attend? Suddenly, our keystone habit became very, very apparent. We decided, to your point, quickly, that if everybody in our church made it a habit to invite an unchurched friend to church, there would be almost no way for our organization to drift or to fail. Because when people invite an unchurched friend to a church created for unchurched people, they automatically evaluate everything. And that's the key. They automatically evaluate everything through the eyes and the ears of their friend. So the keystone habit is we want every single person to invite an unchurched person to church. Because if they do, again, they experience our church through the eyes and the ears of an unchurched person, which means they will get in the habit of evaluating everything we do through that lens. So we decided that was going to be our keystone habit.
But Andy, you really weren't done yet.
Oh, no, no, we're never done. In the book, The Power of Habit, the author talks about a cue, a routine, and a reward. And this is really the core of the book, and it's what makes the book so helpful on many levels. A cue is the thing that cues a habit. The routine is actually the habit, and the reward is, oh, I'm glad I did that. So the cue is I'm hungry. The routine is I go and, you know, get a brownie. The reward is, oh, my mouth is satisfied and my stomach is satisfied. So cue, routine, reward. So we decided the keystone habit was for every member, you know, every congregate, every staff member to get in the habit of inviting an unchurched friend to church. So then what we did is we decided let's create some cues. And let's formalize these cues and let's reinforce these cues so that whenever a person bumps into one of these cues, the habit will be, oh, there's a cue. My routine is I'm going to invite that person to church. So we came up with what we call our three knots. And what we've begun to teach is this. Anytime any of us hear one of the three things, these are the three knots, things are not going well, I'm not prepared for, or I'm not from here, that's our cue. Things are not going well, I'm not prepared for, I'm not from here. That's going to be our cue to automatically invite someone to church that Sunday. So we began to teach these cues that would trigger a habit, and we believe, because of the nature of our organization, if that's the habit of members and staff members, that will create a trickle-down effect in terms of how we evaluate, how we program, how we do everything. So we discovered our keystone habit, again, when we backed all the way up, looked at our mission, vision, overall strategy for organization, and kept asking the question. And as I said, this was a series of several meetings. Is there one thing? Maybe there's not. But is there a driving force? Is there one thing that we can formalize as a keystone habit that, if everybody embraced it, would drive the other behaviors that we think are critical to our success as an organization?
Andy, give us a little more context for these three cues. What do those mean?
Yeah, so I'm in a conversation. In fact, it was so funny. The week, or actually 2 days after we had this conversation, I'm at Starbucks, and I'm talking to a guy, and he said, and within the context of the conversation, things are not going well. He talked about they had to move across town. He just lost his job, and I thought, there it is, not going well. And I heard myself saying, you should come to my church Sunday. Now, I'm the pastor. That's a little awkward, and sometimes it's awkward for me to invite people. Hey, you should come hear me preach. But I thought, there it is. Yeah. There's my cue. Things are not going well. Oh, really? you should come to church with me Sunday. He actually wrote his name and phone number on a sleeve and handed it to me. So that's what I mean by a cue. The other one is not prepared for. When we hear people say, you know, we brought the baby home, we weren't prepared for that. We moved, had to put our kids in a new school. In other words, these are all positive things, but I just didn't feel like we were prepared for it. So anytime you hear somebody say, we just weren't prepared for that, we don't feel prepared for that, I'm starting school, you know, whatever it might be, invite them to church. And then the third one is the easiest one. Well, we're not from here. Oh, really? Well, you should come with me to church. We're not from here. We just moved here. We just moved into the neighborhood. Oh, really? You should come with me to church. So those were our three cues. We began to reiterate those, attach them to a habit. And then the reward is a person feels like, hey, I've partnered with my organization, with my church, to do what we've set out to do.
So, Andy, what would you recommend our listeners do with all of this?
That's a good question. I really think it's a really important discussion. It may be fruitful, and it may not be. I mean, you may get to the end of 45 minutes or an hour or a couple of weeks of this and go, you know what, things are going well. I'm not sure this is getting us anywhere. But I think it's a potentially important discussion. It certainly is for us. We came out of this, and there were some frustrating moments, and there were times even as the leader, like, okay, am I wasting everybody's time? Are we just talking to be talking? But to land where we landed and then to formalize some cues and now to begin to reiterate that, not just with staff but with our entire church, I feel like we really have landed on a simple leverage point that has the potential to continue to leverage our organization in the right direction. So regardless of the industry, the division, the department, chances are there is one thing that if everybody in your division, your department, or your organization did systematically, if there were cues that triggered that one behavior, it would protect what you love or help change what you know needs to be changed. So I think it's an important conversation, again, to look for that one keystone habit.
Well, Andy, thanks so much for taking this time with us today, and thank you to our audience for listening. To hear more from Andy on leadership, please visit andystanley.com.